I'm Michelle Martin, and this is Tell Me More from NPR News. The blues have always been a way to get at some of life's tougher trials, and Otis Taylor's music is no different. Taylor, who calls himself a trance blues musician, has taken on big themes like murder, racism, and poverty in previous albums. But his latest album, his 13th, and he says his most emotional, started with four little words. As Taylor tells it, he was having a backstage conversation with Mato Naji, lead vocalist and guitarist of the band Indigenous, and a member of the Nakota Nation. They were talking about Native American culture, and Naji told him, quote, "My world is gone." That conversation inspired the title track of the new album, My World Is Gone, on which both men perform. Here's a sample.
If you send me a silver mirror, oh, I walk the wind river. If you send me,
oh, my world,
a silver mirror, oh, I walk the wind river. If you send me,
oh, my world,
a golden razor, oh, I'll cut my hair.
And Otis Taylor and Mato Naji join us now to tell us more about it and themselves, we hope. Welcome to you both. Thank you both so much for joining us.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Me too.
Otis, you were telling us that the song is a love song. Tell us more about that.
Well, I'm kind of noted for being dark, so even if I'm writing a long love song, it's kind of dark. So it's basically about a man that says, you know, he's given up. He's going back to the res, and his world is gone, but he's still going back. And he's going to cut his hair, do whatever he wants to do, so she'll have him come back. He'll cut his hair if she sends him a razor. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Cutting your hair is very symbolic, you know.
If you send me,
oh, my world,
a golden razor, oh, I'll cut my hair. If you send me,
oh, my world,
a golden razor, oh, I'll walk the wind river. I'll cut my hair and I'll bear it, oh, I'll bear it in the ground. I'll cut my hair and I'll bear it.
Do you remember what it is about those words that kind of struck a chord with you?
I just wrote the song. I wasn't thinking about it. I was just writing it. I'm not that deep. I'm not deep.
Okay.
I was just writing it. I wasn't thinking about it.
Words come
like a dream, you know?
Okay, Mato, what about that? Do you remember making those comments? And do you remember? I understand that you were backstage at a concert, right? You were both performing. Do you remember saying it to him? And did you think he was going to run with it the way he has?
No, I didn't. he actually mentioned that he, you know, got an idea right away off the words, and you know, I didn't, you know, expect a full record and to be playing on it. So, but hey, I'm honored to be on it and be a part of it.
Well, if you remember a little bit of the conversation, Mato, if you could just tell us a little bit more. You are from the Nakota Nation. Do you remember why that thought came to you?
You know, they started talking about natives and, you know, Indians, and in this country they're talking about casinos and stuff, and I was like, you know, that's not who we are. You know, it probably is now, you know, what we're trying to do to survive, basically. But basically what I meant was my whole world, you know, being from this country, is basically gone. The way we used to live 200, 300 years ago, you know, thousands of years ago, you know, I mean, it's all gone. And now we're just kind of living, you know, we're not gone yet. And that's one good thing I like about, you know, the record that Otis did. It's kind of showing that too, that, you know, we're still here and we're still, you know, doing what we have to do. And basically for me, it's kind of an uplifting record.
Otis, you're not Native American, and you've never been to the Nakota Nation Reservation.
No.
Why are you laughing? I'm just confirming
basically is Native American because he was born here when it was called America, and when my people were here, it wasn't America. So,
okay. Thank you for translating. Because Otis is just laughing at me. So, thank you for helping out.
I'm not laughing.
But no, my point was.
No, I'm not Native. Okay. I'm not. I'm African American, but it's like being a Mexican. I have like white blood, Native blood, black blood. You know, I'm a black man with blue eyes. So what am I? You know what I mean? I'm black.
But, I hear you. You know, okay.
My father was 1/8 Cherokee. My mother was 1/8 Choctaw. So what does that make me? I don't know. It just makes me a black man.
Yeah.
So that's why I laughed, you know.
Okay.
It's all, you know. It's all connected. You know.
It's all connected. Well, the reason where I was going with that, thank you, Mato, for helping me out here, because Otis is, as we discussed, laughing at me. The reason I was asking is that you were
I'm just laughing. Can I laugh?
Yeah. You were telling us earlier.
I thought it was America. I thought we was free in America.
Yes, just not on my show.
Okay.
We are.
Yes,
on your record. That's why you have your record, so you can be free.
Yes, ma'am.
You
yes,
were saying that this was the most emotional record you've done. And since you've done a lot of records and you've tackled a lot of themes, I was just wondering why that was.
Well, because I made my living when I was young off selling Native American Indian art, blankets and rugs and beadwork. And it just sort of always bothered me that I was selling things that other people wore, their clothing, you know, basically, and their art. I didn't buy it from them, so I kind of was able to deal with it, you know. I brought it from estate sales and Goodwills, but it was a productive part of my life financially, you know.
Mm-hmm. But you were also telling us, you said, I don't usually care what I say, but I was much more careful. I wanted to get it right and do something that will make things better.
Because it has to do with Native people breaking treaties and the way that people treat the Native Americans, you know, or Indians, whatever, you know, like they've really got the shaft, you know. So I didn't want to hurt them. I wanted to help the situation with my message, you know.
If you're just joining us, I'm Michelle Martin, and this is Tell Me More from NPR News. I'm joined by Mato Naji. He performs on Otis Taylor's new album. It's called My World Is Gone. And I wanted to play another clip from one of the pieces that, Mato, you were telling us is one of your favorites on the album. I'll just play it. It's called Blue Rain in Africa.
Well, I saw buffalo. Oh, plain of the Dakota. So there must be blue rain in Africa. Oh, there must be.
It's one of my favorite too. Mato, why is this one of your favorites?
I liked everything about it, and I'm happy Otis let me play guitar in it.
Barely. He's too good. He's stealing the show.
He's stealing your shine.
He sings good, plays great guitar. I had to make an Otis Taylor record. I had to kind of back him off a little bit, you know. He wanted to play in all the songs. I said, I don't think so.
I saw the eagle, but I saw the eagle fly at night. I saw the eagle, I saw him fly at night. There must be blue rain.
Well, Otis, how important was it for you? I'm going to switch it up a little bit. How important was it for you that Mato play on this album?
Well, it's the whole concept of the album. You know, that's what makes it happen. He's playing and singing with me, and all the songs are vetted. I mean, all the songs that he played on, I had him check out the words and make sure he was comfortable with everything, the concept.
Hmm. Why was that important to you, Otis?
Well, I didn't want him to say, look what he did to me. You know what I mean? No way. You know, nothing's been done to the Native people. Why do I need to do something bad? Mm-hmm. You know, so I had to make sure it was right.
Mato, what about that? What do you make of that?
I've talked to Otis before when he was talking about doing the record and stuff last year. It was a while back, but I I thought it would be great when he told me he was, you know, going to create the whole concept. You know, there's not a lot of a lot of records like this, you know, out there that are coming out. There's not any really. So I mean, I think it's really unique, and it's a great record.
And you were telling us that you think that part of the strength of this album's message is that it was made by somebody who is not, quote unquote, speaking of our prior conversation, not quote unquote Native American, as it's commonly understood, or not American Indian, all right?
Well, actually, he's part. Mm-hmm. He was saying he was part now. So I mean, so yeah, it definitely comes from, you know, it comes from him, and you know, that's good. So now I know that, you know, he's got all the pieces of, you know, the people of the world. You know, he can put it out there now and, you know, be really universal with it.
You know, that's a tricky thing, though. Sometimes people don't appreciate it when people claim a heritage. The only reason I'm raising this is that during the last political campaign year in the Massachusetts Senate race, I don't know how closely you follow this, there were people who criticized the candidate who eventually won, Elizabeth Warren, the Democrat, because she claimed heritage, and other people were saying, well, prove it. There's that.
Well, that's where I disagree, I guess. You shouldn't have to prove who you are, you know? I mean, if that's who you are and you're proud of it, then it, to me, it doesn't really matter what anybody else thinks of that, you know? So, I am who I am and proud of who I am, which I'm sure Otis is too. That's the important thing that kind of seems to be lost, you know, in a lot of countries and a lot of races, you know, a lot of different people, you know, all over the world. So, so I think if people just sat down and thought about that and who they really were and, you know, felt proud of that, then I think they would think differently about everything.
Do you have a favorite, Otis? Do you have a favorite song?
I have no favorite songs.
Favorite song, yeah.
I don't know. I love, you know, I don't know.
I know, it's like choosing among your kids.
I like Blue Rain in Africa, but, you know. Okay. Depends. But I don't get to do all the ones he played on. I don't get to do much, you know. He didn't tell you the whole story. I was visiting him at the Hendrix tour, you know, like you got to be one of the top lead guitar players to be in the Hendrix tour. So he's just being modest. So just, you have to get this in perspective, you know. But that's my thing, is getting the great musicians to play with me. Not the most famous, but the greatest, I think, really exceptional musicians.
Let me just play one more song on the album, Never Been to the Reservation. It's about a man living a life of luxury, oblivious, you know, to the hardships on the reservation. I'll just play a little bit.
They got babies sleeping on the ground. Oh, and he's drinking his champagne at home. He's eating his caviar, drinking his fine wine. But you know, but you know, he ain't never been to the reservation. He ain't never been to the reservation.
You know, we talked about at the beginning of our conversation, you said, you know, you're known for being, you know, quote unquote, dark. And I wanted to ask, what's the trick of it to get people to want to listen to something hard?
It has to be interesting. It has to be good. You know, you have to sell it, you know. It's a niche kind of market, you know. I mean, I don't do a lot of love songs, so it makes it, you know, harder. But did that make any sense, what I just said? I mean, I sell records. I don't sell millions of records. I'm happy with what I sell, and I'm happy for all my music that gets in movies and things like that. So I'm not really worried about selling a lot of records. You know?
Who are you hoping will find this album? Anybody in particular you're particularly hoping will find it, way to this one?
I think everything's serendipitous. It's just, you found out about it. It's all serendipitous.
and you're like, and you're an idiot, PR so agent? You found it.
Then it's, I didn't all say good. That. Oh, man. Well, that's look what she's good. Trying to do to us. Whatever you do to me, you're doing it to him. He's my brother.
So, all right, Mata, what about you? Who are you? Are there anybody in particular you're hoping will find this one?
I just hope everybody gets a chance to hear it, because I think it's really unique music. So, you know, I would just love to, you know, for them to get a chance to hear it.
Well, thank you both so much for spending some time with us.
Can I say one thing?
Sure, you certainly may.
The song about Sand Creek Mourning is a real important song historically, about the Sand Creek Massacre, you know, and that's pretty important. But it's a dark song.
Well, I was going to ask you, what would you like to go out on? So would you like to go out on that one?
I think it's the most historical song. And it's important for people to know that story because it's a horrific story.
Okay. Know? Well, we will go out on that one, Sand Creek Massacre.
You sure
want
to go out on such a up note like that?
It's fine. It's all good. I think people can handle it. If people can live it, then people can handle hearing it.
They're waiting for the dawn. They're waiting for the dawn. They're coming down on the Sand Creek. They're waiting for the dawn. Oh, Shiv and Tom and Colonel Nickel, they're waiting for the dawn. He's coming down. He's coming down. He's waiting for the dawn on Sandy Creek.
Manto Naji is the lead guitarist and vocalist of the band Indigenous. He joined us from South Dakota Public Radio. Otis Taylor is a trance blues musician. His latest album is My World Is Gone. It's due out in February. Manto Naji appears on the album. And Mr. Taylor joined us from KGNU in Boulder, Colorado. Thank you both so much for joining us.
Thank you.
And that's our program for today. Tell Me More is produced by Bridget Armstrong, Freddie Boswell, Bridget DeShagas, Andrew Limbong, Sanaj Meshkinpour, Emily Oxenschlager, Amitha Parasher, and Amy Ta. Our intern is Matt Reeves. Our editor is Ahmad Omar. Our special thanks to NPR's librarians. Our director is Arjun Hutchins. Our senior producer is Devar Ardalan. The technical director is Neil Tivault, with audio engineers Sean Phillips, Kurt Stoniker, and Brian Jarbo. Our theme music was composed by Underdog Entertainment with additional arrangements by Ian Honeyman. Our senior editors are Ann Hawk and Alicia Montgomery. Our acting executive producer is Carlene Watson. And remember to tell us more. Please go to npr.org and find us under the Programs tab. You can find our podcast there. You can also follow us on Facebook and Twitter. The handle is at TellMeMoreNPR. I'm Michelle Martin, and you've been listening to Tell Me More from NPR News and the African American Public Radio Consortium. Let's talk more tomorrow.